to see the next generation of worshippers on the stage today. I wonder where the next generation of mission partners are. Perhaps they're here. Maybe they're online today. I think it's time for that generation to arise, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, I mentioned we have released our missions booklet today. You can get a hard copy. I think there are a limited number at the Connect desk. Some of you know missions quite well at Rangeville. Others, you're fairly new, so you're not quite so sure. So to give you a bit of an overview, I met with Ben Southers during the week, and we put together a video. I joked in the first service, Ben was the director, producer, cinematographer for, and my job was mainly not to trip over my own feet. Thankfully, Ben's also a very good editor, so if I did, you won't really know. Let's have a listen to that video. Missions are central to the heart of all that we do at Rangeville Community Church, and we are passionate about supporting missions in our city, in our nation, and overseas. This year at Rangeville, we financially support 18 organisations, ministries, and individuals. About 3/5 of our financial support is for overseas mission, and the other 2/5 is divided roughly equally between national and local missions. We also support 4 local partners in various ways, but not through finances. Our mission partners have 2 key spheres of activity, and those are making new disciples or evangelism, and justice and mercy activities, that is, in practical ways, demonstrating the love of Christ. Our recent survey of mission partners found that for funded partners, 70% of their activities are evangelistic in nature, and the other 30% involve a practical demonstration of Christ's love. For our non-funded partners, well, they lean a little more heavily to the practical demonstration of Christ's love, to justice and mercy. At Rangeville, we are so honoured and blessed and privileged to support an amazing group of dedicated and passionate mission partners. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." And that is why at Rangeville, we are passionate about supporting international missions. This year, our mission partners include Tim and Sharon Lithgow, serving with Wycliffe Bible Translators in Papua New Guinea. We also have a number of partners serving with the organisation called YWAM, or Youth with a Mission. And they are Gretel and Johnny Kittu, serving in Indonesia, PPA with his wife Marina, along with Lubu in Myanmar, and Marianne Flegg with her daughters Alicia and JL in Lebanon. Do you have a heart for international missions? Why don't you contact our mission partners? They'd love to hear from you and encourage you as you explore the options. And please come and talk to the Missions Committee. We'd love to get to know you. We'd love to explore the possibilities with you and then partner with you as you take the exciting step of faith onto the international mission field. In Matthew 9, we see that Jesus had a heart to reach the people of his own nation because the need was so great. He said, "The harvest field is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into the harvest field." Likewise, in this nation of Australia, the need is great. And so at Rangeville, we partner with ministries and individuals who have a heart to reach everyday Australians, including young people, university students, and Indigenous Australians, among others. Do you have a heart for young people? Why don't you have a chat with Ian Anderson about his work with Teen Street? While you're talking with him, ask him about his creative work with Operation Mobilisation. Do you have a heart for Indigenous Australians or those in the nearby islands? Why don't you have a chat with Ada Boland, our newest mission partner, about her extensive work in regional Australia, working with Indigenous communities? Ask her about her vision and passion for the Indigenous Voices of the Land Ministry and Conference, and ask her about her connections in Papua New Guinea, Fiji, and New Zealand. Do you have a heart for international missions, but you're not able to travel at this time? Why don't you consider serving on a university campus where the mission field comes to you? Chris and Vanessa Vanderbush with Power to Change and Grant Linneman with Uni Impact share your heart for overseas students and, of course, for Australian students as well. They'd love to hear from you and encourage you as you explore the options for this ministry. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was unclothed and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you visited me." Jesus had such a heart and a compassion for the underprivileged, the needy and the outsider.
And at Rangeville, we are honoured to partner with ministries and individuals who share Jesus' heart and his compassion. Offering a listening ear to local shoppers, our community chaplaincy team serve at the Toowoomba Plaza Shopping Centre. Our sisters group offers love, support, friendship, fun and hospitality to refugee and migrant women. Eva's Place supports pregnant women and their partners and provides abortion grief recovery programs in four locations, Toowoomba, Dalby, Kingaroy and Roma. In our new life centres, our teen challenge staff provide support for those struggling with addictions and other life controlling issues. And our Kairos team have a heart to support those who are incarcerated, to support those in prison, their families and once released to walk with them on their journey of faith in Christ. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and don't hinder them." And at Rangeville, we love to support ministries to children. We support two chaplains serving across four schools in this region. Our CRI volunteers serve at a number of schools in our region, and two mornings a week, our Brekkie Club team provide breakfast at the Centenary Heights State High School. Thank you to all of those who support missions at Rangeville. And if you'd like to be more involved, there are three ways that you can do this. First, through prayer. All of our mission partners would greatly value your prayers for them. And you can use the 2024 missions booklet as a guide to inform your prayers throughout the following year. Our regular mission spots will bring you up to date about more current needs, and the church office releases a regular prayer guide with prayer for missions included. Of course, you can contact our partners personally, ask for their newsletters, ask for their prayer guides, and that way you'll stay up to date and current with the latest information. So first is prayer, second is giving. 10% of all general tithes and offerings given to Rangeville are used to support missions. But you can also nominate missions or a mission partner in the reference section of your online banking platform. And you can do a similar thing using our offering envelopes that are available in the auditorium or from the church office. So number two is giving, and of course number three is getting involved, volunteering. If you have a heart for local missions, our mission partners would love to hear from you. Choose one or more who align with your passions, your interests, your time availability, and your giftings. But if you feel that the Lord is calling you into full-time missions, then come and have a chat to the Missions Committee. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to explore the options with you, and we'd love to partner with you as you step out into the exciting faith journey of the mission field. At Rangeville, we are so blessed and honoured to support an amazing group of passionate, dedicated and faith-filled mission partners. And thank you so much for your ongoing support of them as they continue to share the message of Christ and in practical ways demonstrate the love of Christ to a lost and dying world.
Right. You can see I got a bit louder in that last part. That was just in case you'd fallen asleep. I thought I'd better wake you up. Actually, no, that part was filmed at the beginning when I still had all of my voice. You know, when Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations," there was something he kept back, a mystery, a secret. And that secret, I believe, is the local church. That was the key strategy for fulfilling Jesus' mission, because it's at the local church, isn't it, where people generally first hear about Jesus and are nurtured in their faith as they make a faith commitment. It's at the local church often that people get the call to the mission field, and then the local church will partner with a mission organization to equip those people with a heart for missions. And then it's from the local church that the mission partners are sent forth. They are supported with prayer and with finances, with encouragement for their missionary activities. Then they come back to report or to have a rest and some recreation, and the church becomes a sanctuary of restoration. So I do believe that the local church is really the key secret to the Great Commission. We have a second speaker today who also grew up here at Rangeville and is very well known to many of you. It was here that she developed a heart for cross-cultural mission and then trained with a mission organisation called Serving in Missions, or SIM is the acronym, went to Africa, to Northern and Eastern Africa on the mission field, and then moved to Europe to further her language and cultural training. Just like with Marianne, though, the path wasn't exactly smooth because COVID intervened, among other things. And so in late 2021, our speaker returned to Australia, and after a time of prayer, reflection and consultation, decided that for a season she would step back from that mission field and do a secular job, be a light in a dark place here. But she still very much has the heart for intercultural mission. And so with her message entitled Missions, the Willingness to Say Yes, please give a very warm welcome to our very own Melissa Morris. Thank you, Melissa.
How are we all going? It's an honour to be able to be asked to be one of the keynote speakers here today for Mission Sunday. Rangeville has a missional heart and desire that all know the love and freedom that Christ brings. This has helped shape my own heart for cross-cultural ministry throughout the years. So when praying through what to share today, I thought of multiple scriptures, including the Great Commission found at the end of both Matthew and Mark. I looked into the origins of the term Missio Dei, which is a Latin term meaning sent of God, and how this relates to the theology of mission. It's actually a really cool subject to explore. I even looked into the background of the book of Romans, why it was written, the significance of the words in Romans 10, where Paul writes about the salvation of all peoples, including the Gentiles. But as I reflected on all of this interesting information, I kept on coming back to personal stories of what God has been teaching me in this past season, and how our simple willingness to say yes can move mountains that we didn't even know we were standing against. Growing up in Rangeville, I heard stories every month of what God was doing around the world. It not only encouraged my sense of adventure, but also my desire to serve wherever God was calling me. So as my personal relationship with God grew, my interest, particularly in cross-cultural ministry, also grew. At a young age, I remember asking my mum whether I needed to go to university to be a missionary. And I was severely disappointed to learn that I still had to complete Year 12 and then even more study. As a 10-year-old, that seemed like forever. Even at a young age, I had set ideas of what my life would look like, and I wonder what I would have thought back then if I knew all that God had in store. Sometimes missionaries are given the title of superhero or something along those lines. My story of going into ministry, however, is anything but superhuman. There are times where I've gotten it wrong, times I've bluntly told God that I didn't want to do something, and also times I felt incredibly inadequate to pursue what he was asking. But God in his faithfulness has used my human weaknesses to weave the story that he wants to weave. Actually, he's still weaving it. Luke 10:1-4. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." In Luke 10, Jesus commissions the 72 in the same way that he sent out his 12 disciples, two by two, to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 2, "The harvest is plentiful," is something that I've prayed over many years. It seems like such a simple prayer, but is it? Have you ever prayed a prayer and then suddenly realized the significance of what you just prayed? What if God's solution to finding workers is to send you? Are you willing to say yes? Jesus, as he sent out the 72, didn't say it would be easy or that they would have lots of money or success. In fact, he says the opposite. You will be lambs among wolves. The disciples had no understanding of what was in front of them, and I'm not sure whether they would have been as willing if they actually knew how challenging the road would be. In 2006, when I was 15, I joined a team of 30 other teenagers on a mission trip to Banawati. It was a stretching experience. And at the end of the summer, I returned knowing that God wanted me to pursue cross-cultural ministry further. The only problem was I didn't want to. And after wrestling with it for a good couple of weeks, I reluctantly said yes. I knew that as a believer, we were called to share the gospel, but I felt very unprepared. As any 15-year-old would, I had conditions. The first was that I didn't want to go to a Muslim area. It wasn't long after 9/11, and my view of Islam was one of fear. Secondly, I wanted to go to a country that spoke predominantly English. I was happy to learn the local language. However, I still wanted to be able to communicate as soon as I got off the plane. Did I mention that I used to have my life planned out? The third, and in my opinion at the time, the most important thing, was that there was absolutely no way that I was going single. For those who are familiar with my story, the first nation I served in was South Sudan. Here, very little English is spoken, despite it being one of the official national languages. My ministry in South Sudan was mainly to Muslims, and I was also very much single. So what changed? Did I suddenly wake up one day and decide to go to the other side of the world where I didn't know anyone and also didn't speak the language? Not exactly. I knew a God who died for my sins and wanted a personal relationship with me. I knew that I loved Jesus and wanted to follow his command to go out into the world and share the gospel. It was my willingness to say yes, even when I had no idea what I just signed up for. My life hasn't panned out the way that I wanted it to, or sorry, that I thought it would, but I wouldn't want it any other way. God has opened doors that I could have never imagined and provided opportunities that I would have never thought of. His plans for my life are so much greater than I realised, and he knows exactly what I need in whatever season I'm in. The word radical is often used with a negative connotation, as in having out-of-the-box ideas or extremist views. One of Cambridge Dictionary's definitions of radical is a person who supports great social, economic, or political change. If we place a positive emphasis on the term radical, as in we have radical faith in Jesus, or out of our love for God, we choose to be radically obedient, what does that bring to mind? Does radical obedience only include the big acts like Peter stepping out of the boat onto the water, or Abraham trekking up that mountain with Isaac to be sacrificed? Or is it also in the little things, like the Israelites collecting manna every single day for their food, choosing to be obedient even when it looked ridiculous? God has taken me on a journey over the last few years where what he was asking of me was my willingness to say yes. It's been a season of blind faith, and one where even when I put one foot in front of the other, I had no idea where I was going. Christmas Eve of 2020, I was living on the outskirts of Paris in full-time French study, preparing to serve in Central Africa. The French government decided to lift the 8 p.m. curfew that we'd been under for the previous weeks to allow people to celebrate Christmas. A friend and I, who were the only ones left at the language school for the Christmas holidays, decided to go into Paris to have a look at the Christmas lights. We're walking the cobbled streets of the 4th arrondissement, which is the centre of Paris for anyone who has absolutely no idea what an arrondissement is. I randomly began imagining this light-filled Parisian apartment and thinking how cool it would be to live in one. My following thought was how weird I was thinking that, because I didn't even like Paris. And I responded with, God, if this is you and you want me to stay in France longer, you're going to have to change my heart, because I don't want to. An honest response, and some would say a bold prayer. What I didn't know then was that in the space of weeks, I would go from I don't want to stay to I know that God wants me here. 5 weeks later, at the end of the January, I had an amazing encounter with God at church. And after the service, I went to introduce someone who was visiting to some of the leadership team. There was a couple up the front who I didn't know, and they asked whether they could pray for me. Now, what I wanted to say was, oh, no, it's okay. You know, I'm fine. However, God kindly decided to ambush me. And my memory of the event is likely far sassier than it actually was. But the phrase that came into my head was something along the lines of, are you serious? Who in their right mind, as a Christian, would ever say no to prayer? So after God had pulled me into line and the couple started praying for me, one of the first things this guy started praying was, Lord, we know that Melissa's called to the Francophile world. Wait, what? No, I'm not. I'm going to Africa. And as I stood there arguing with God, the person praying was answering all of my questions and unknowingly prophesying over my life. I can't explain how I knew, but I just knew that part of what God had for me was actually in France and not just Africa. It was a moment that completely changed my life and my understanding of why I was in France for that season. As the year progressed and I struggled through trying to learn French, the sense that God had more for me in France didn't lessen. It was a big reason why I tried to renew my visa at the end of 2021 and why I was so surprised and emotionally unprepared for when it was denied. That and the Australian borders still not allowing Australians to return home. On my last Sunday in France, as I was sitting in church, devastated and angry about having to return, the sermon that was preached was on being radical for Jesus and taking radical steps of faith. Being there, done that, didn't work. God and I were certainly not on speaking terms at that point. The closing song came on, talking about surrender, and I felt God quite strongly say to me, do you praise me because I give you what you believe I've promised you, or will you praise me regardless? Ouch. I knew in that moment that what God was asking of me was to leave France and be okay with the possibility of never returning. What he wanted wasn't what I could do for him, how many people I could tell about Jesus, or how massive of a ministry I could build in his name. He actually wanted me and my heart, the simple act of radical obedience, to say yes, regardless of the cost. It hasn't been an easy journey, as every door around me closed. Soon after returning to Australia, knowing that the France door was closed, ministry plans for Central Africa also had significant changes, and I knew that God was leading me into something different. I just didn't know what. Just as God used Joseph's imprisonment to prepare him for leading Egypt, he placed me in a season of hibernation. People didn't understand why I would walk away from ministries and a nursing career that I'd poured my heart and life into. I didn't fully understand, and I spent months praying through several key decisions before they were officially made. Yet, I knew that if God was calling me into something new, I didn't want to be the person hindering what God wanted to do. You don't need to be superhuman for God to use you. You don't need to be perfect, because clearly I'm not. What God is asking is that as you walk with him, there is a willingness to say yes. He knows the future and all of the needs that you have, and he will provide a way. I don't know if or when I will go back overseas, and I cannot guarantee with certainty that it will be France. But I know that my God is a good Heavenly Father who would not lead me down a path that is a dead end. Being back in Australia and now working in a secular workplace has opened doors to conversations where I can share about my faith. Every day I see people who are lost and hurting. The harvest is ripe. People just don't realise how much they need Jesus. Are you willing to be someone that he sends into your families, workplaces, communities, or even internationally? Before I close in prayer, there are two more things I want to mention. Some of you may already have an interest in ministry and particularly cross-culturally. And I'd be happy to talk with you about any questions that you may have. The second thing is maybe that it's your first time at church, or maybe you've been coming for a while and you don't know the true love of Jesus, the radical love that caused God to send his one and only son to die for you and to be raised again. If that's you and you want a personal relationship with Jesus, to know his love and have peace that passes all understanding, then I would love to pray with you after the service. The Father is standing with open arms. It doesn't matter how many times you've failed or how badly you've stuffed up. He's calling your name. Will you say yes? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for faithfully walking us through every season of our life, regardless of whether it makes sense. I pray for everyone here that they will feel your overwhelming love and peace. Please speak to each and every one of us of your plans for our lives and how we can partner with you by simply saying yes. I ask for supernatural wisdom, boldness, and courage as we step out into what you're calling us to. As we do this, may doors of opportunity open and your kingdom be established. In Jesus' name, amen.